Greetings and welcome to the Recombobulation Area. My name is Dan Schaefer. Thank you for joining us. We have a very special guest joining us today because we have a new sponsor here at the Recombobulation Area, and it happens to be an organization that is working on a tremendously important cause, one that is close to me personally, and that is the issue of mental health. The organization is called the Blake Matthew Mindful Memorial Foundation, and it was founded in 2021 following the loss of Blake Matthew Fenwick, a young man who struggled with hidden depression. To help make a difference for young people experiencing mental health challenges, the foundation is now launching its most ambitious initiative yet, the 10,000 Hearts campaign. The goal, to get 10,000 Wisconsinites to contribute just $5 per month to help make a difference and save lives. One heart can make a difference. 10,000 hearts can help transform a state. And I'd like to think our readers and listeners here at the Recombobulation Area can be part of making that difference. So we're going to learn a little bit more today about this foundation and about the 10,000 Hearts campaign. And joining us to do that is Gatlin Fenwick, Blake's father and the founder of the foundation. Gatlin, welcome to the Recombobulation Area, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Dan. It's my pleasure.
So I have such great admiration for what you're doing here with this foundation and for the resilience you and your family have shown in the wake of such a terrible tragedy. So first, if you could share with us a bit about how you formed this foundation and what you've been doing over the past few years.
Well, Blake was, he was born in 1999, and he lived with his mother up in Crandon, Wisconsin, which is not too far from Rhinelander. And he went to college, he graduated from college at Fox Valley Tech. He just had a brand new job, a very good job, and a new fiance, a new dog. And Blake was, he was just a very highly energetic person, always smiling, always on the move, you know, hard for him to sit still, always helping others. But the day after Christmas in 2020, you know, difficult year for everybody, we received the phone call that no parent ever wants to receive, and learned that Blake took his own life. But it was such a, you know, the denial part of that was so strong because I just didn't believe that there's no way that Blake would do this. He didn't show any signs of depression that anyone could see plain as day. You know, in hindsight, looking back, you know, maybe there were some signs, but Blake was just the life of the party. You know, he was always helping other people, helping them feel good. And he did leave a note behind. His note said, "Depression is real, but it's a hidden secret." And that couldn't have been more the case with Blake. He took us all by surprise, and this shockwave that, you know, still vibrates through the family. About a year later, we inherited $6,000 from Blake. He had some Tesla stock. And with that money, we didn't want to just pay off debt or put it in the bank. We wanted to do something meaningful with it. So we issued a scholarship to a local student in Reedsburg, where we live, who was pursuing a mental health career. And after that scholarship awards ceremony that night, you know, it felt so good to do that in his name. So we wanted to do another scholarship. So our first goal was to raise $6,000. And we resurrected a triathlon event that formerly took place at the very property where we live back in the 80s. It was a just for fun triathlon that they did for, they called it the Tin Man Triathlon. And it's a sprint. It's a 6-mile bike ride, a 1-mile paddle, and a 2-mile run. And we brought that back to life, and we had a fundraiser that day. We had 50 people participate in the triathlon. We had 200 people show up to the party, and we had a cornhole tournament and silent auctions and bucket raffles and food, the whole nine yards, all-day party. And we raised over $20,000. And we had no intentions of creating a foundation or a non-profit charity at that point. But we just wanted to do a few more scholarships. but it was so much fun that everyone was like, we got to do this again next year. So we did it again the following year. And we formed a 501c3 nonprofit and wanted to make it legitimate. We got a board of directors assembled and we had another event and we gave out more scholarships. And fast forward to year three, we had went from 20,000 raised the first year to 60,000 to 120,000 this last year. And in September of 2024, we had realized that with over $200,000 raised, and most college students change their major, so we wanted to be careful not to just give out $6,000 scholarships and drain the bank account. We wanted to continue to do that, but also offer a program that could help people immediately, could help people in Wisconsin find some relief from their mental health issues. And we recognize that the typical path of mental health, if you go visit the local clinic, usually if it's depression or anxiety or can't sleep well, there's usually a pill for that. And then maybe some accompanying talk therapy. And sometimes insurance covers those things, but insurance rarely covers other healing modalities like breathwork or yoga or meditation or sound healing or Reiki or acupuncture or some recovery communities, some recovery tools. There's so many different things that are available that are out there outside of the normal scope, things that people haven't even heard about. And when I lost Blake, I went down the conventional route with talk therapy and medication, and I found that plateaued. I was really hoping to someday just feel, not that you get over losing your child, but you want to get through it. You want to have days where you feel good. And when I dove deep into a practice of yoga and meditation, I found a lot of help from that. Probably, I would say more than the medication that I had previously been on. And so when we launched this new program, we call it the Tin Man Coin. It's a wellness grant that anyone can apply for who's struggling. And it opens doors to provide access to these different things that people aren't normally covered through insurance by. So we, in the back end, we maintain we recruited 20 some wellness partners, and that includes your conventional therapists and counselors, but also things like breath workers and yoga teachers and everything else that I just listed. So right now we have 44 wellness partners. And at first people might hear things like these alternative or holistic healing modalities, maybe are skeptical about it, but the proof is in the pudding. In the last 18 months, we've issued 150 wellness grants. We've hosted 4 people who have also spoken at the Tin Man event that claim that this Blake's Foundation has saved their life through what they've discovered. Knowing that everyone's path is unique, everyone is a bio-individual person with different backgrounds, different interests, things that they're open to, things that they're maybe opposed to trying, or things that they've never even heard of. And so usually when people come through our door, their eyes light up with the opportunity of things that they are able to try. And it's not always a financial barrier. Sometimes people that can afford these services come to us for guidance to see what else is available. And in the last 18 months, we've served 26 counties in Wisconsin, including Milwaukee, Dane, Waukesha, Jefferson, Sauk, Columbia, Adams, Juneau, Richland, Forest, Winnebago. I mean, just go down the list. And it also impacted 4 states. We've issued wellness grants to 4 people in 4 other states. So it's working. It's definitely working. We've been able to prove that a community-funded mental health care model works.
Well, it's a really remarkable what you've been able to do. And I think like what you said, I think is really important, is that there's no one way to combat this. There's no one magic solution. You know, medication and talk therapy might work for some people, but it might not be the most effective approach for others. And I think the fact that you are exploring, you know, the different ways that these different treatments, or however you want to, you know, however you want to characterize it, there's a lot of the medical lingo that is a little bit beyond me, but like the, however you want to characterize it, just there are different ways to address mental health issues. And, you know, for so many people, the issue is so new. And like you said, even if folks don't have the, you know, might not have the financial barrier, there's a knowledge gap that may exist for, you know, a variety of different treatments too. And I think that is such an important part of mental health and of the journey to, you know, addressing those issues or finding a place of wellness or whatever it might be.
Yeah, absolutely. And instead of thinking of it like, oh, I need this pill for the rest of my life, or I need this coach for the rest of my life. Instead of looking at it as like coping mechanisms or getting on a boat and never getting off, you know, we like to use the analogy of you come into this foundation and you're going to get on a kayak and you're going to paddle to the other side. You're going to be the one paddling. Like, there's work involved, but the idea is to get out the other side, and you don't take your paddle with you. You cross that river, and then you can help other people, you know, guide them across and help others too, like a peer support system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I have to imagine you've learned quite a bit about this in the, you know, in the 5 years or so since forming this foundation, like you said, with, you know, starting with the scholarships and then moving, you know, beyond well beyond that with the events and the wellness grants and things like that. I mean, you know, reflecting on, you know, what you've learned the past few years, what are some of the things that have surprised you along that way?
We received a grant to occupy this office space in Reedsburg, and the downstairs of the building is a natural health clinic called Rewild Natural Health Clinic. And she does blood tests on people and looks at their labs at a very deep dive, like spends 1 to 2 hours with each patient looking at their imbalances of their hormones, their blood sugar, cholesterol, the whole nine yards. I don't know all that jargon either, but the line between physical health and mental health is very blurred, almost to the point that it doesn't exist. We are just one thing, you know, we're human beings. And so I think that's been the most surprising to me is the anxiety and depression that people have found relief from through looking at their daily routine and their diets, you know, in addition to mindfulness and awareness and just dropping out. I think the common denominator for, you know, that I've witnessed at least throughout the last couple of years is that, you know, our thinking minds take over. We live in a world where we're constantly doing and making decisions and going, and here comes the propane truck, bear with me. Thank you. Okay, this should be a little better now. Where was I? And everything is connected, right? And we're stuck in these very busy lives, busy worlds, and thinking really is the problem. And that we are just always stuck there. And those thoughts take us over, and those thoughts can change our nervous system and create things that we label as depression and anxiety. So our new program that we are just now experimenting with, we have 7 people in our cohort, is called the Tin Man Trail. And that's a 12-week program where they start in the clinic downstairs and they look at their imbalances, and then they look at their daily routines and their diets, and then we get into things like breath work and mindfulness and learning how to live with the rhythms of, you know, the rhythms of nature, the cycles of our bodies, the cycles of the seasons. And I think if anything has been the most profoundly impactful, it has been things like Ayurveda health coaching and the natural health angle and breath work. But you know, that's also just not true for everybody. We've seen profound emotional releases and breakthroughs for people who have received Reiki and sound therapy, and I've done all those things, and I haven't had those breakthroughs personally, but I've seen people who have. So once again, back to the fact that everyone is different, and this opens up an opportunity for people to explore what does work for them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's so important. So tell me about this latest effort then, about the 10,000 Hearts campaign.
Sure. So even though we've sprinkled across Wisconsin, we've served 26 counties, and I'm very proud of that. We really have a goal of impacting all 72 counties in Wisconsin. And so the 10,000 Hearts campaign, like you mentioned earlier, $5 a month can save a life, but if 10,000 people jump on board, if we get 10,000 people to band together, that will, as you said, change a state. And take this, we've proven this community-funded mental health care model that works here in the regions of Wisconsin we've already impacted. There's no reason that that won't work for the entire state and beyond.
And I think you're absolutely right. And I think it's, you know, it's an ambitious effort. But I think the work that you've been doing over the past 5 years is proof that, you know, what you're doing does work. And this, you know, and it's such an enormous challenge, right? I think people talk about, you know, especially with young people coming out of the pandemic and whatever it might be, just the severity of so many mental health challenges. And I think the way people have talk about the issue is so different even from, you know, 20 years ago when I was in high school, right? And I think the hope would be that, you know, efforts like this and so many others can make the next 20 years even more impactful as we look ahead to, you know, the challenges that young people are facing could seem to continue to mount, and the, you know, the hidden nature of things, like you mentioned with your son, is just makes it all the more challenging to really know what's going on in someone's mind. And it's just, you never really know. And I think, you know, even if you're not, you know, consider yourself facing mental health challenges in your own personal life, you know, there is of course going to be someone that you're close to that is facing this. So, you know, and I think, you know, it's a spectrum, right? Is everybody deals with depression or anxiety or whatever it might be on some level, right? So I think what you're doing here is so incredibly important. And I would, again, encourage folks who are listening to this to contribute that $5 per month and be part of the 10,000 Wisconsinites who can transform a state. And I think, you know, efforts like this is it's just really impressive. I, you know, resilience is such an important quality for people. And I think resilience in the face of tragedy and what you've been able to put together with this foundation and now, you know, just really taking it even more ambitious step forward is I just think about how it can make such a meaningful difference for people. And like you said, you've made that difference with people already. Are there any, you know, particular stories that you'd want to share that from what you've been able to impact with the foundation thus far?
Yeah, I would say our keynote case study, her name is Tabitha Don, and she came to us with severe lupus, where she could, she had to reschedule her first appointment a few times because she couldn't even get out of bed. You know, lupus, I don't know a whole lot about it, but it hurts. It kind of eats you from the inside out, and she couldn't work. She had to stop her job, and she was a veteran counselor. You know, she had dealt with, and she's back to work now, but she deals with coaching people, you know, talking them off the ledge, so to speak, veterans. And she came through our program, and she received, how it works is when you receive a Tin Man coin, you just complete the services and then you're eligible for up to 3 coins. You know, the idea is to try a few things out, find what works. And instead of just giving people money and wishing them luck, you know, this is, you know, we're there for them. There's a lot of follow through. So at the end of her 3rd coin, there, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Your video is frozen, but oh, yep, there you go. We're back now.
Okay. So at the and she claims that she experienced probably half a dozen different services during her experience with us, and she really dove deep into breath work, and she claims that that saved her life, and she cured her lupus, and she's back to work, and she feels great, and she's exercising, and she's doing the triathlon this year, and she
Wow,
spoke
amazing.
at the Tin Man event last year, and all there was probably 200 or 300 people in the crowd at the time when she spoke, and you could hear a pin drop, lots of tears. She shared from the heart, what her journey was, and it felt really good. And so that can be anybody.
Absolutely. What a remarkable story. Well, before we wrap up here, is there anything else that you would like to share with our readers and listeners here at the Recombobulation Area about the 10,000 Hearts campaign, about the foundation, and about the work that you're all doing?
Sure. All right. So for the 10,000 Hearts campaign, we ordered a box of 1,000 wooden hearts. They're an inch and a half wide, these little pretty little wooden hearts. And when somebody, so $5 a month accounts for one heart. And so if you sign up for $5 a month, there's one heart that gets physically placed on the wall in Tin Man Hall, the space that we occupy. And so, for example, if you contribute $20 a month, you get four hearts, and you can put the heart in your name or the name of a loved one, or maybe someone you've lost, or anyone who knew Blake or knew somebody that they've lost to a mental health issue, whether that be suicide, addiction, or whatever. And then this wall, will just be there indefinitely. So that's kind of a fun way to physically see the growth of the campaign. We just launched 2 weeks ago, so we have 67 hearts on the wall, and our first goal is 1,000. We'd like to reach 1,000, by the time we get to the Tin Man event. But this, we don't know when we will reach 10,000, but we're not going to qu quit until we accomplish that.
Well, I hope like I said, some of our readers and listeners are can put some of those hearts on the wall. I plan to do so myself as well. It's a personal issue for me and my family, and I just have, again, I have such great admiration for what you're doing with this foundation, with this initiative. And again, thank you so much for sharing so much about it in this conversation today, and best of luck to you and all the folks you're working with on this initiative going forward.
Thank you, Dan. It's a pleasure, and I find it interesting that you have about 10,000 followers.
We've got 10,000 subscribers, a little over 10,000 subscribers here at the Recombobulation Area. So our subscribers here can really transform a state and make a difference. So step up and do your part.
All right, thank you, Dan. Really appreciate it, man.
Thanks, Gatlin.